Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 3, again, the Apostle Peter is putting them in mind of responsibility. And so he says here in the second epistle, the second epistle, beloved, and now I write unto you, and both with a strip your pure minds. I highlight the word pure minds there. Okay, of course, he's talking about the state of the conscience, isn't he? But he's stirring up for the purpose of your reflection by way of remembrance. Okay, so that your conscience will continue to keep on a prophetic path. Okay, as you reflect upon these things. Okay, so to stir up your pure minds and stay the conscience, because unto the pure all things are pure, as Paul said. Okay, those with a pure conscience handle the sacrifices in purity. Okay, but those which are defiled conscience, okay, of course their sacrifices will not ascend pure before God. It's like having idols in the temple of God. Okay, so it goes on, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, okay, that you may mindful. Hide the word mindful. That means I want you to develop and to promote, okay, this perspective. I want you to develop and promote a new perspective. Mindful. Okay, pure minds and mindful. Okay, by the pure conscience, okay, your perspective of life changes. So that you're no longer thinking in yourself in the light of transgression, but you're thinking yourself now in the light of his resurrection. If you think in the light of your transgressions, then you're going to be weak in your will. Okay? But if you think yourself in the light of the resurrection, the pure conscience, okay, then you can progress. Okay? You can grow and you can progress and be fruit-bearing. That you may be mindful of the words. Okay, so we see the word mindful as was this new knowledge. So that's why I put here. Develop a new perspective by this knowledge. These things are the prophetic path, okay, which we're also presently walking on, which were spoken before of the holy prophets. Okay, this is the prophetic path that we're following on. Okay, that which was spoken before the foundation of the world, that which was confirmed, okay, through the lips of the first prophets, okay, as well as Adam and Eve, okay, and Enoch, okay, they prophesied the times that we're living in. Okay, even Enoch himself professed, okay, blessed are they that are at the end more than at the beginning. Okay, even Solomon said, better is at the end thereof than the beginning thereof. Okay, that's concerning the prophetic path. That you may be mindful of the words, this knowledge, which were spoken before, okay, by the holy prophets, okay, and the commandment of us apostles. Okay, these are things which we're confirming and affirming. Okay, that's why we have the prophetic eye up there. Okay, the prophetic eye. There's been a couple more dreams about the rapture and its closeness. Okay, about the rapture and its closeness. We're just waiting now for more validation on it. Okay. We do have a date, but it has to be validated. Okay, so just keep seeking the Lord. Okay, I'm sure it's going to come through when the saints there. Yeah, the closeness is amazing.
Do we have a hint?
Mm. What did you say,
no? By the tape.
By the tape.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
I'm curious, minds want to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, just be encouraged. It's very close. Okay, but remain focused on your priesthood. Okay, don't max out your credit cards. Right, don't do that.
Continue to use your prudence.
Be prudent daily, right? Yeah, it's not time to go on vacation now. Where's everybody the second, eighth week? They're all in Bermuda on the beach. Right, they maxed out their credit card. Right? They're on the beach drinking martinis and having lobster. Right? Okay. No return flight.
What do you call it? We don't leave a last will and testament because we're not dead, so what would that be when we leave?
Leave a testimony. Yeah. Just a testimony, right?
Yeah, that's it.
We should have a class for last minute preparations. Workshop.
That's a good thought. Thank you, John.
I am going to on my desktop and leave it. Envelope.
All right, you can, if you remember, like, it was on the one Arnold Schwarzenegger there was going to the Red Planet there. What was that called, the movie called
Total
again?
Recall.
Total Recall.
Okay. And when he was looking at the computer, he says, "If you're watching this computer, it's because you're you have
a towel over your head.
And yeah, a towel on your head, right. Okay, yeah, that was good. We can do something like that. Right. Okay, commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, verse 3. Knowing this first. Okay, now he's given the sequence of thought here. That there should come in the last days, which we're living in. We are in the last days. Actually, we're at the very end times. Okay, the last day and the end times. We're in the seventh day. We're also in the third day. Okay, there's a big thing in that. 7 and 3 equals 10, which shows there's a changing of weeks. Okay, we're in the seventh day. Okay, regarding the seventh day, the 7 days of creation, God rested the seventh day. Okay, we're in the seventh day. We're also in the third day, which is in power, day of power, new beginning. Okay, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Now, Peter was writing this down 2,000 years ago, setting down another stone for us to walk on. Now, we are walking on the stone, so Peter set here, see? So this is for our benefit. They're going to come in the last days scoffers. Okay, those which are ignorant, okay, will challenge you. Okay, not understanding the prophetic path or time of fulfillment, they will challenge this change. There's a change coming. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Okay, those which are carnal minded and a defiled conscience, okay, will abandon sound reason. Okay, and only build on their logic. Okay. They think everything's just going to continue on, okay, in the same mold as it was since the beginning. It never was like that. Since the very beginning, there was always a dissolution for renewal. Yeah, dissolution for renewal here. Since the very beginning. Since the very beginning of time, when God had the first covenant in Him, there was changes to it. There was changes to the first one for dissolution, for renewal. Okay, from Noah's flood, after Noah's flood, the time of Abraham, and from the time of Abraham, the time of Abraham, there was change to the patriarchs to Moses. Okay, there was always change coming. This is called the wind of the Spirit. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus, okay, about the wind of the Spirit. Okay, the wind has changed its direction today. Okay, so here Peter is giving us a history test, okay, or history example here. Okay. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, okay, those being ignorant, walking after their own lust, not walking in the prophetic path, okay, but walking, of course, in the path of their own ignorance, or the broad way. Now they're going to say this. Well, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, as even the apostles, since the fathers fell asleep, okay, all things continue. The church stays the same. That's what they're thinking. All things continue as they were from the beginning. All right, since the creation. Okay, but Peter says this is ignorant thinking. Things have changed all the time. Okay, the wind of the Spirit has been one way. Okay, then the wind of the Spirit blew another way. Okay, now verse 5. Okay, for this they willingly are ignorant of. That means because they don't see the prophetic path being absent of the true fact, okay, they're going to resist the change. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Okay, and whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. A dissolution. Okay, he's giving us an example of dissolution. Okay. Then what happened? But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved, okay, this is for a group judgment, reserved in a fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Okay, so we see that there was a change, a dissolution for renewal. Okay. God established a pattern for us since the very beginning. That's why I call it Jeremiah's curve. Okay? And every week there was a change. And every week there was even from the first covenant, that which God gave to Adam changed a transition from Adam. When they went to Enoch, they established the first temple tabernacle. Okay, then after Enoch from the temple, okay, it was established to the altar again. From the altar, Abraham carried the tradition of the altar on any hill that he chose to the time when God would elect a place. So it was changed from the mountain to the temple again, back to Moses. Okay, and then from the temple of skin, it changed again. It went from skin to the stone to the time of David. Okay, then it went from the time of stone from David, okay, to another change of another week into the time of the flesh again, but into the heart. Okay, and then those things of that first covenant changed from the earthly thing to the spiritual thing. You see how things constantly change. Change upon change upon change upon change. Okay. We'll go on here. In verse 8. But beloved, he says, be not ignorant of this one thing. Okay, don't be absent of these true facts, mostly this rhythm. Now this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Now it says we're in the seventh day now. And 1,000 years is one day. Okay, because this knowledge shows God's time frame for these events. Okay, this shows God's time frame for these events. This is what Peter said. This is what Barnabas said. This is what's also spoken of in the book of Psalms. For one day is 1,000 years in your sight that are past. Okay. Okay, Barnabas agrees to this. Peter agrees to this. And Jesus spoke about this. Okay, concerning the last times. Peter spoke also about the transition of the church. Okay, from the first 8th week to the time of the 6th week. Okay, when a church would go through a time of darkness. Okay, that was already prophesied. It's prophesied by the apostles in the epistles and Acts and also in Hermas. Okay, they all spoke about the same thing. Okay, and the church would go through a transition of changing. And it did. It went from the spiritual things back to the carnal things. That was called the time of darkness. Now the time of darkness, a new dawning has come. Okay, so now it's going back from the time of ignorance to the time of knowledge, from a physical priesthood, okay, to a spiritual priesthood. Okay, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Okay, everything which God has determined from the foundation of the world is unfolding as he so desired. Okay, as some count slackness or a sign of denying. Okay, they count it, they deny it. Okay, but notice here, but God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering to us, word. He knows that every transition is going to be a struggle. He knows that. Okay? That there's always a travailing before birth. Okay? Long-suffering to us, word. Okay? Not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? That's why he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Okay? But the day of the Lord, now highlight the word the day there in verse 10, because we're talking about the 8th day here. The day of the Lord as the 8th day, not the rapture, okay, but the 8th day. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And he's talking about another desolation, okay, or dissolution there. Okay, it's going to repeat itself here. He's talking about the church is going to go through a change. The earth is going to go through a change. Okay, everything has this assigned time frame. And here he says the 8th day. Okay? And that's going to be a change. Okay? Melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein should be burned up. Now that's what this is what Peter received from the Apostle John, who had the revelation and the vision, okay, in the book of Revelation. Remember that? Okay? And I saw a new heavens and a new earth. That's what the Apostle John saw with his own eyes. Okay, Peter is relating to this to the church, to what John gave to him.
So this is at the end of the millennium.
Oh yeah, it's the 8th day, the end of millennium, right? Okay. Now the end of millennium. This is the eternal day. Seeing that all these things shall be destroyed or dissolved. There's the word dissolved, okay? Which has to do with that. Okay, the glory of man every week. Okay, the plan of God. Okay, it's gonna continue to progress, but these here, all earth things will be dissolved. He says, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation godliness? Your state of mind right now should be the priesthood. Keep it there. And he says, there's going to be changes, but if you stay at the altar, you'll be able to move with the change. You'll be able to move with it. Okay, the people that don't have an altar find the change very difficult because they don't know what's expected out of them. So they're very suspicious of anything. As the Pharisees, they're very suspicious. Okay, that's because they don't have truth, and that's because they never had an altar. If they would have did what Peter said right here to do, if you would have remained at that altar, then you would have been prepared for the change that would come. Okay, but they weren't. Okay, so that's why they're questioning everything. Looking forward, hastening into the coming of the day of God, the eighth day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, a new beginning. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise on his prophetic path, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Okay, but right now, God has assigned these things for us today, until that time. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent now at the altar, that you may be able found of him in peace. That's at the altar, without spot and blameless. Your conscience would be pure, as well as also the condition of your soul, would receive virtue, crown, power. Verse 15, an account of the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, is written unto you. So here Peter is also affirming Paul's stewardship. That Paul is not a rogue, renegade, or maverick apostle. Paul was not a failure. I've heard a preacher say that Paul was a failure. Yeah, and that's because he says, Paul never entered to his fullness. This is what they said, not me. They said, Paul never entered his fullness, so that's why he was in peril all the time. That's why Paul was a defeated Christian. And I said to him, why would you then be reading his letters if he's a defeated Christian? Amen. That doesn't make sense.
When you said that the first time, I thought it could be impossible that people could think like that. But I just heard a few days ago that the Afrikaans traditional churches are considering to remove a few of these things out because of that same thing, Paul being a failure. I could not believe it. I'm talking about the traditional churches. You know, the synod meetings and these things that they have in these councils.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it's the Hagen, it's the Hagen message, right?
Yeah.
Copeland. Yeah.
It's actually in line with what you were saying earlier on about how they abandoning sound reason and building on their logic.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an enactment of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the heads up on that.
Sorry, can I just say something? It's also, when people have tasted a truth and then move out of it, and continue with the doctrines which have come through the stewardship, and say the steward isn't the steward, but continue with the doctrines. It's exactly the same thing as that.
That's right. Yeah. Now their bread has become leavened, right? Their bread has become leavened. It's now they have the common cold, the common cold that's been removed from the altar and it's on the floor. So it's just common and it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
The bread has to be warm for it to be accepted. It has to be hot. That's what Jesus said. I would that you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. He says it's like you're suspended. You're halfway to the altar, but then you're also close to the floor. Now, where are you going to be? On the floor or on the altar? Which way are you going to go? If you're going to go on the floor, you're going to go cold and common. Okay, but if you're on the altar, then you're also holy, and your sacrifices are pure. Okay, so keep your sacrifices on the altar.
It's like the food poisoning, because of that cold bread. Food poisoning.
Okay, good thought. Well, let's finish it up and let's offer some sacrifices. See, we're at the top of the hour here. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, he knows that. So when people say the same thing to you, I don't understand what you're saying. It says, well, you're in keeping with the rhythm of what the Bible says. You just have to, go in grace to understand these things. In which are some things hard to be understood, he says, Paul. Because Paul was speaking from the standpoint of, again, the depthness of his experience with the mystery. And that's what he talks about in his epistles. Which they that are unlearned and unstable, which means you have to be instructed in this knowledge. They arrest these things because they're using knowledge with the inclination now. Okay, as they do also the other scriptures, they're using the same scriptures we are, but to their own destruction. See that? It's now become common. The knowledge has become common, so their soul remains in the state of they're not transitioning any longer. But now being immobilized, they become cold, and a virus sets in, and now they're not useful for God's kingdom. Last two verses here. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. That means, he says, I'm giving you a heads up. You see the curve right here. There's a change that's coming, but remain steadfast at the altar. Lest you also, being led away from the altar, see, with the error of the wicked, false knowledge, which robs the heart of faith, fall, okay, from your own steadfastness. Okay, but this is my remedy. This is the pill you take. This is your vitamin. Grow in grace. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says. To him be glory both now and forever, amen. At this present time in the altar, as he will also throughout all eternity, he is our sustainer of life.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.